We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
We don't really do intros anymore because we've had so many guests.
True. How what do we talk about?
Boys like Glee. I know Whoa. What boys like.
I know. Da, da.
Da, na, 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 na. Boys Shmip, like. Boys like Glee. That's our intro,
wow,
everybody.
Hey guys, welcome to the episode.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
All right, hi everyone.
Hi everyone.
My name is Guess.
I guess your name is Harry Houdini.
So, not even close. Are you an idiot? We've been doing this for like 7 months.
I am an idiot.
My name, oh, that's true. I'm sorry. That's something you're sensitive about. Lena is a legal idiot. I'm just kidding. You're very smart.
I'm pretty dumb.
I get worried when I like tease you on the podcast that people who, you know, aren't our
personal friends
think that I straight up am just like, you suck. You guys, Lena is an intelligent person. She is a beautiful star. I love her very much. But she is, in fact, very wrong about my name. That is true. It is not Harry Houdini.
Yeah, I don't know where. What is your name? I don't think I caught that.
It's Ian Allred. Yes.
Allred.
Yes, Allred.
I like that.
Thank you. I will never understand how people see the words all and red, which are very common words in the English language, and say Allred. And I'm talking about native English speakers do this constantly.
Maybe that's just their like accent.
I don't.
Allred.
This is like growing up. So like people who have the same accent as me would say Allred. And I was like, it's two words.
It's all. Yeah. I had a teacher once call me Lena Coaster. And my family teases me about that all the time. And I'm like, that's your last name too, fuckers. Like, don't make fun of me.
Lena Coaster.
A lot of people, I had a professor in college encouraged me to change my last name to like just a different pronunciation of the same name, so like Conister or like
Knatzer. This isn't just me like trying to be a supportive friend. Genuinely, I think Knatzer is such a dope last
name. I love my last name.
You should not change
Have you ever met another Knatzer in your whole life?
Exactly. I have, actually. I've met your siblings.
Oh, I was like, oh my God, who? there is another Lena Knatzer who lives in like Alabama or something. She added me on Facebook a couple years ago. I got really upset. I was like, I can't believe. I thought I was the only one with my name.
There's another Ian Allred who is a lawyer somewhere. Yeah.
Take his clout.
I will. I'm a lawyer, everyone. If you Google Ian Allred and it's a lawyer, that's me.
That's you.
That's always been me. People, I like most of the times when people are told to change their name if they're going into, you know, yeah. performing, it is because they have like an ethnic last name, which you guys is not cool at all. My thing is, I think those names are freaking awesome.
Absolutely.
I would consider changing my last name if my last name was like Paul Smith. Like, no hate to any Paul Smiths out there.
There's like a single Paul Smith who's like,
if I was like, this is like the most run of the mill name possible, I feel like everyone, like, any day you walk down the street, you have passed 10 Paul Smiths in that day. True. Like, that's when I would change my name, is if I was like, this is the most common name I can think of.
Do you know if there's any Ian Allreds in the union already?
Have you looked it up? I don't think so, because when you Google Ian Allred, my website is the first, like, performing anything that pops up.
Look at you.
So if there's another Ian Allred in the union, he's not doing a good job of marketing himself.
I'm almost certain. I don't think I've ever checked if there's Lena Knatzer in the union, but I'm almost certain.
For those who don't know, the Actors Union, Actors Equity, there can only be like one person per each name. Mm-hmm. So for example, if when I decide to join the Actors Union, I join and there's already another Ian Allred, I will either have to change my name for the union.
What do you think you would
change it to?
Or would you do Galahart, Ian J?
Jar Jar Binks.
Galahart Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks. That's good.
Or I would have to like put a middle initial or like a middle name in there for no confusion.
Yeah.
Just for clarity's sake, for the people who are like, what the heck are you talking about right now?
I know. Let's alienate all of our non-theater listeners.
That. My goal in this podcast is to alienate absolutely everyone so no one wants to listen to us talk because they don't know what we're going on about. It's just for us two and that's it.
Yeah. Can you tell we're in the same room?
We
This is the last time we're going to be in the same room for a while.
Well, everyone, my name is Galahart Jar Jar Binks, and I am a Gleek.
Oh my gosh, my name is Quinn Fabre, and I am a Gleek.
Quinn, I'm so happy to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
I have so many questions.
What's your first one?
Did you change your tights halfway through the school day because you were wearing red tights while you were watching I Know What Boys Like, but then when Sam broke up with you, you were wearing black tights. So what's that about?
I got my period.
But they were red already.
Do you know how periods work?
Oh, so just like the tights were a mess.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were talking about a stain, and I was like, well, the tights themselves are red, so who cares?
No.
Okay. I respect that.
My name is Lena Knatzer, and I am a Gleek. I wish I was Quinn Fabre, but alas, I'm not. Are you ready to talk about the comeback?
Here comes the comeback. Ken is back. Back on track. Here comes a hero. He's everybody loves an underdog, so come on back.
Are you making this up?
No, it's a real song, but I do not know the words. I just know that it says come back in it.
Okay, okay.
I am ready. Okay. Should we come back to the glass?
Come back, come back, come back.
All right.
You should sing that song. We should just be in that show.
I'm pretty sure gave myself nodes trying to sing that song before I knew how to dance awfully.
Are you for real?
So
that song is hard.
Before I started taking better voice lessons, I love that's a song from a show called Dogfight. It is in fact called Come Back. It is a song based on this episode of Glee, believe it or not. In the middle of a show about the Vietnam War, one of the characters is like, I'm going to sing about when this Rachel Berry paid Britney Pierce to wear leg warmers. It's very weird. It doesn't really fit the mood of the show.
But also, I got a lot of feelings.
Yeah, but also, like, I got to respect it. Mm-hmm. Anyways, and I, like, was just discovering that show, and I really wanted to sing that song. This was when I was living in Florida. And so, out of respect to my roommates, I would wait until they were all at work if I had, like, a later shift. And I would be making lunch, and I would like try my darndest to sing that song, and straight up my vocal cords would be like bleeding. And I was like, mind over matter, I can do it. I can get this song to
work. You're just
like
shredding your throat.
Yeah, I was a big like, you just push as hard as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then my voice teacher was like, no, actually the opposite is true. And wow, it changed my life.
Wow, I love voice lessons.
Oh yeah, it's time for the
Glex. Anyways, so this episode of Glee, come back! That was so flat. It aired on, I started saying the Glax, I don't have them open. It aired on February 15th. I have this memorized because it's the day after Valentine's Day. February 15th, 2011. Wow, right? Wow. Incredible. It is the 13th episode of season two. It is the 35th episode overall. It was written by newcomer Ryan Murphy.
Ooh, I've never heard of him.
I know. It's his first episode. He wanted to dip his toes in.
Sure.
It was directed by Bradley Bucher.
Oh.
We know him. Oh, been around the block with Bradley before.
What else has Bradley done? Yeah.
Oh, I was joking. Let's find out what Bradley has done. Bradley has directed Never Been Kissed, Boo, and That's It. That's the only one so far. He goes on to direct a whole bunch, but Never Been Kissed is the only one he's done to this point. The songs in Comeback are, of course, Comeback from Dogfight is in this. Do you remember it, everyone? You must not have been paying attention. It is sung, of course, by Jason Earls, the bassist for the band in the choir room. It's very weird.
Yeah, but very off-putting. He does a great job.
He nails it. Honestly, Jason Earls, mad respect.
Respect game.
The other songs in this episode are Baby by Justin Bieber, performed by Sam. This is Sam's first solo song, but also not his first solo song.
He had Billionaire. Billionaire has Artie. Yeah.
So in the episode itself, only Sam sings, which has not yet happened unless you count him singing in the shower.
Right.
However, on the studio recording, Artie does, like Kevin McHale does the Ludacris verse. Ludacris.
He always says his name like Luda.
Chris. And so
shut up.
And so the studio recording, it doesn't count as his first solo because Artie's in the studio recording, but he's not in the episode, so I'm counting it. So this is Sam's first solo. Congratulations, Sam Evans.
Love you, Sam.
Then we got Somebody to Love by Justin Bieber, performed by the Justin Bieber Experience, which is, of course, Sam, Puck, Artie, and Mike.
Of course. And then my favorite band.
My favorite band, too. Then we got Take Me or Leave Me from Rent, performed by Rachel and Mercedes. Joanne Erasure. Joanne's verse is not in this.
I know.
They just both sing the Maureen part.
I mean, we can get into it later, but...
Yeah. At the end, Mercedes takes the Maureen part, but at the beginning, they just both sing the Maureen verse. And then we got I Know What Boys Like by The Waitresses, sung by Lauren Zizes. It is her only solo in the entire show. She Knows What Boys Like, Boys Like Glee. And then we have Sing by My Chemical Romance. Every time I see this, I'm like, they did a chorus line in this episode? Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh.
Them in flannel, and they're like, I couldn't really sing. I could never really sing. What I couldn't do is sing. Honestly, I want a reprise. Let's do it again. An encore. It is performed by The New Directions. In the season five seminal classic, Tina in the Sky with Diamonds, Sue is talking to Brie, a character who we will not meet for a couple years.
I couldn't even tell you who that character is off the top of my head.
I could. It's because I watched season five very recently. Sue is talking to Glee, to Brie. That's why. She rhymes
Boys
with Glee.
Like Brie.
Boys like Brie.
Do you like Brie cheese?
No.
Me neither.
Oh, I thought you were going to get mad at me.
No,
I'm glad we agree.
Really
it's
like
too
it.
Airy.
Yeah.
Yum.
Honestly, I've tried really hard to like it too. Maybe if someone put jam on it, I might like it, or baked it. I just have
Ooh,
never liked
it. Baked brie is good.
Yeah, I've never had baked brie.
Boys like baked brie. So Sue tells Brie the cheese. She has a wheel of brie cheese in her office, and she says to the wheel of brie cheese.
You thought I was going to get mad.
You do that a lot.
I do.
it comes from a place of love, but you will ask me like, "What are your thoughts on this?" And then if I disagree with you, you're like, "Are you kidding me?"
I know. I genuinely ask for your opinion, and then I like punch your opinion in the face. Am I a mean person?
No, okay. You're fine. So Sue says that she's trying to destroy the Glee Club, but she's having a hard time because they're not scared of her anymore since she, quote, performed with them in plaid pajamas, which is a reference to this number.
Cool.
And then finally, we have an unreleased song, which is This Little Light of Mine by Harry Dixon Lowes, performed by Will, Sue, and the kids at the hospital. So This is the second non-official tribute episode to feature more than one song by the same artist. The first being, of course, the Bruno Mars tribute, which was Fart.
Obviously.
Bruno Mars was like, if Carol and Bert are getting married, you have my whole song catalog. Whatever you
Take
want.
Take my entire discography, please.
I am a Carol and Bert.
You.
They are my OTP.
I mean, they're mine, too.
I agree.
Jeez,
with
Bruno.
That.
You've got great taste.
This is the first episode of Glee that Kurt is absent. He is not in it. And I didn't realize that either.
That hurts.
That just goes to show how, you know, kind of how forced the Kurt appearances have been in some of these episodes. Like, Silly Love Songs was very motivated. Like, some of them have worked really well.
Yeah.
But ever since he's been to Dalton,
but, like, Bills,
been...
Bills, Bills, what was that for?
Exactly. Yeah. There have been episodes where it's
be
like...
amazing.
It's like, why is this happening? And it's just because Chris Colfer's on the payroll and they can't think of anything to do with him.
Yeah.
And then he completely is missing from this episode. I didn't even notice. It's not Chris Colfer's fault. Once again, they need to do something more with Kurt. All right. In Quinn's locker, she has a lot of sticky notes. One says, a fuchsia elephant, which is a reference to a short film that Diana Agron wrote, designed, directed, and starred in.
Pop off, Diana.
Fuchsia elephant.
We should watch it.
It's unreleased. I don't know if you can find it anywhere. I see like an IMDb for it, and I see some pictures. What? It has Dave Franco in it?
No way.
Diana Agron.
Show
hello.
Me.
So, Fuchsia Elephant, starring Diana Agron and Dave Franco, the classic movie of our time, the lost episode of
truly
of Diana Agron's life. And then, okay, this one I literally copy and pasted directly from Glee Wiki because I was like, this is so confusing to me. Another one of the post-it notes says, call Charlie. Here's what Glee Wiki says. Who? According to Diana, was the name of many characters in stories she wrote, a male counterpart of herself, and her in a past life.
What?
So Diana Agron is like, you guys, I have seen my past lives, and in one of them, my name is Charlie?
Maybe.
Okay.
I buy it.
Well, good for you, Charlie. You go.
So she just like went in and like put all these post-its up and their references to like her life.
I think they were like, we need to decorate Quinn's locker. And she was like, okay. And then like put those little hallmarks to herself.
Ooh, that's fun.
At the very end of the episode, Rachel is wearing that red sweater that has the like white bow on it, but it's like part of the sweater. Uh-huh. She repeat costume, which does not happen very frequently.
Lizzie McGuire, you are
An outfit repeater, Rachel Berry. She has worn that before in duets during River Deep Mountain High.
Oh.
Thank you, Kate. What's her last name? I don't know. I haven't seen that show in years. All right. Back to Glee. Kate McKinnon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kate McKinnon on SNL actually is a big Lizzie McGuire fan.
She
changed her last name to name herself after the character on Lizzie McGuire. Everyone listening to this is like, you are telling so many lies, I can't tell when to tell you telling the truth. Here's how to know is that we have yet to lie on this podcast. Everything
we have
said.
I've never lied in my life.
That's true. There's no sarcasm. There are no jokes. Everything we say needs to be taken with 100% sincerity.
Yeah, get that salt out of your kitchen. You don't need it for this podcast.
Yes. Take nothing we say with a grain of salt, but please take things with a grain of salt because now people are going to get mad at things we say.
People are like, when you're like, Lena's an idiot, they're gonna think you're serious now. And in my dark moments, I'm going to think you're serious.
No. Next collect. So, when they sing This Little Light of Mine, those kids were real patients from the Cancer and Blood Diseases Ward of Children's Hospital Los Angeles. Also, we see a glimpse of Rachel's to-do list in this episode.
Yes.
I saw you trying to write it down and it moved
so
too fast. Don't worry, I did it this morning.
Good. That's why I didn't ask you to pause it, because I was like, he probably wrote it down.
So Rachel Berry's to-do list is, first up, Celine Dion's birthday, which means that this episode takes place on March 30th, which opens up a whole can of worms about what this timeline is, because the last episode was Valentine's Day. They do say, like, it's been a few weeks since Valentine's Day. But then, like, we still have so long until regionals.
Yeah, and if it's March 30th,
like, do regionals and nationals happen, like, 2 weeks apart?
I hate the show.
You guys, this timeline doesn't make any sense. Okay, so Celine Dion's birthday, because it is March 30th, apparently. And then she has friend request, Barbra Streisand again. Then she has Anne Margaret in concert. And then my favorite one, Avatar on Ice audition.
I love her so much.
And goober. Those are your glacks.
Thanks for all those glacks.
You're welcome for those glacks.
Are you ready to get into the recap?
I've never been more ready for anything in my whole life, I swear.
Do I have this recap? Oh my gosh. Why do all my... I feel like all my recaps are way too GD long. Let me just put a... make the font a little bigger.
I keep getting hair in my mouth. I don't know.
Chop your hair off.
Long hair was not for me, everyone. I mean, I probably will be chopping my hair off soon. Everyone, I know you don't even know I have pandemic hair because all the pictures of me on the Instagram are 3 years old, but say goodbye to my pandemic hair. Someone, it's not going to last very long.
I was just on the TikTok just like a couple hours ago and someone commented on the Say Little Prayer dance that you did. And I looked at you and I was like, who is this man?
Right.
Who has designed this uncommon plan? Literally, I had no idea who you were. Let's get into this recap. I just hate doing the recap. Who said that?
Get out, Meredith.
Meredith.
Get out of here.
Shut the fuck up. Okay, we ready?
Glee.
Here's what you missed on Glee. After Sue's slump after not qualifying for nationals, Emma encourages Sue to join the Glee Club. Sam creates a tribute band, the Justin Bieber Experience, in order to win back Quinn's heart. The other boys take notice and join the band as well, except Finn, because Finn likes real music. Rachel and Mercedes take part in a diva off set on by Sue. Rachel tries to make a comeback, so she pays Brittany to start dressing just like Rachel. And in the end, they all just want to dress like Brittany. Sue's heart is softened by the pediatric cancer ward. She joins in on an anthem with the New Directions. Lauren asks Puck for some advice on singing an anthem for Glee. Rachel thinks that the club should write their own songs, and the whole club thinks that she is up a tree for thinking that, except Finn. Classic! And that's what you missed on Glee! Ooh. Oh my god.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ian, how did you feel about this episode? Give me like a color you felt. Give me like a 2-word review. How did you feel about this episode?
Honestly, if I had to give you a color, it'd be like fuchsia.
Mm.
And if I had to give you an animal, it would be elephant. This episode just felt like a big fuchsia elephant. And you know what? It made me want to call Charlie and tell him about it. Honestly, though, I liked this episode. I think that this run of the end of the first half and beginning of the back half of season 2 is very strong.
Good.
I would say probably FERT to this point. I haven't loved every episode, but there hasn't been an episode where I'm like, this doesn't fit in what's going on.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
They've been at worst mediocre, at best, I've had a really good time.
Good.
This episode was the episode of forgotten plot lines, where it was I had all these memories of moments in Glee that I was like, when did that even happen? Mm-hmm. And then I watched this episode and they were all in this episode.
Literally. I'm like, when is the Justin Bieber Experience going to happen?
Yeah.
And it was this episode. Was I could not have told you that. I would not have been able to tell you that before this morning.
I literally was like, the comeback is next? What even happens
I know.
In that? And then I was like, oh, this is when Rachel pays Brittany to be a trendsetter. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is when Take Me or Leave Me happens. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is when Lauren sings her song. Mm-hmm. I literally remembered everything about this episode.
Yeah.
Had no idea they all took place in the same episode.
They don't hook together in any sense of the
that
word.
That might be a complaint about the episode. It's very disjointed. But I also had a good time.
It
so.
Also feels like it's like a middle of the road episode, not in the sense of I liked it middle of the road, but you could tell they're in the middle of a couple different plots they're working on. And they're just let's throw a bunch of shit together at the wall and see what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I really like it for it.
Yeah, that's actually something I liked about the episode is it just kind of felt like a week in the life of McKinley High.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me cry.
But it wasn't I don't like tribute episodes where it is all like everyone is forced to be obsessed with the same thing, mm-hmm. whether or not it makes sense. And then this episode truly just felt like everyone's doing their own thing. Totally. They just all happen to be in the same club. And so every once in a while, like plot lines will knock against each other. But for the most part, everyone's doing their own thing.
Totally. It's also just like chock full of all the things I like in Glee and like not a lot of things I don't like, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah, I feel overall very pleasant about this episode. This episode is fun. I also just love season two. I can't help it. All of my, like, Glee core memories are in, like, this part of season two. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Next week is Blame It on the Alcohol. Are you kidding me? Let's start talking about this episode. How do you want to split it up?
Okay, so in my mind, there are three main plot lines, I think.
Okay.
Which are Shoevester.
Shoevester, classic.
The Justin Bieber Experience, which classic. Covers like the Flynn.
The Flynn.
And like, the... and the Pisces as well.
And the Pisces?
Yeah, because okay. I don't know. I was like, because that storyline is really just like one song in a scene. So we'll stick it in there.
Sure.
And then Brittle, which is Brittany and Rachel.
Brittle. Good plot line.
I don't know what their actual ship name is. That's the one I came Brittle. Up with. Because Britt and then Rachel.
Oh, Brittle. That, I could not piece that together in
it's
my head.
It's not very clear at all. I was Brittle, also like Perry.
Like Brittell.
Bierce. I was like trying to do a last name
Bierce,
thing.
Yeah.
Or like Pierce Barry, because I feel like every ship name with Rachel just is just Barry. Like Barry at the yeah. end. But then Brittle, I was like, that's a real word. So that's
yeah,
what
we're Brittle's
going
good. I think yeah. Brittle's the best one.
All right. So which do you want to do first?
Let's talk about Brittle.
All right. What are your Brittle thoughts?
Ugh.
Don't, hey, but be careful with them. They could break. Because they're very
Dude,
Brittle.
That's so true. My thoughts are very Brittle. My mind is like kind of like when you have a balloon up in the air, and you're trying to keep it like up. And you don't want it to touch the ground, but sometimes mm-hmm. things distract you and you let it touch the ground, then it'll never get back up again.
Because everyone knows once a balloon touches the ground, yeah. it actually gets anchored to the ground. You cannot
yeah,
pick
that's
it up
what
again.
Happens. That's what's happened to
it's
me every
impossible.
Time. anyway, I think this plot is so fun. Something I love right off the bat of this plot is Quinn and Santana are like the self-proclaimed queen bees of this school. And they are not immune to Brittany being just like the best and Brittany being such a trendsetter and so awesome and so cool. And they're like, yeah, well, Brittany's super cool. What can we say? I think it's so fun. And also the idea that like Rachel recognizes that power that Brittany has and like is trying to harness it for her own like popularity's sake is so funny to me. And yeah. I think it's so fun. It also reminds me a lot of the Mean Girls, like, you know,
with
the holes
in the
shirts.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. It's like that, but so fun. I really like it. What do you think?
This is the best part of the episode for me.
Oh, really?
The Brittle plotline is my absolute favorite part of the episode. Yeah. I love the pairing of Rachel and Brittany. And it is like a two characters that we haven't seen interact.
Totally.
Put them together, see what happens. I also think that this is like such an effective use of Rachel as a character.
Totally.
I think she is so incredibly funny in this. I think their I think it really is a perfect way to get both of their characters to shine. Mm-hmm. It's just comedic gold. Like the whole storyline is so funny. There are so many funny lines. When Santana is like, I look hot and smart. I feel like Michelle Obama.
So good.
My favorite scene of the whole thing is when Quinn, Santana, and Tina are all wearing Rachel's clothes uh-huh. and Rachel comes up to them and is like, do you guys not realize like this is how I dress every day?
And they're like, you look ridiculous.
Yeah. And they're like, no, you have a reindeer on your sweater. And yeah. the fact that they're not like
they're
teasing
serious.
Her. They're completely serious. They're like, you look
like,
terrible.
This is a carousel horse. Idiot.
This is a carousel horse. And then Rachel tells them the truth. Like Rachel... frankly confesses something that is so embarrassing yeah. but because she is like so passionate about this and like so angry that people don't know it's her, she confesses that she paid Brittany to do this and then they don't believe
they're
her.
Like, why would you do this to poor Seriously. Brittany?
And Tiffany, hello EP Tiff. Tina is
shout
like,
out
Rachel, you're a really bad liar. And they all like they're all like disappointed in her yeah. like Rachel, like, we knew you were kind of selfish, but for you to like try to take credit for this thing that Brittany did, like it's a new low for
I
you.
Know.
It's so funny.
It's also funny. I mentioned last week I love the way Brittany dressed, and I totally forgot that this was even a plot line. So.
And then I love just like the subtlety of throughout the episode, girls just are wearing leg warmers on their arms.
And no one says anything. Like Quinn is doing it. Every single person is doing it other than Rachel.
Oh, it's so good. This, like straight up, this is one of my all-time favorite Glee plot lines.
I think it is so funny.
I think it is prime Glee. Mm-hmm. It is exactly what the show does so well. It's based in the characters. It's so good.
Yeah. And also, I would buy that Brittany would be the one to be the trendsetter. Mm-hmm. Like, Quinn is, like, the most popular girl in school. Santana's the most popular girl in school. Brittany is also the most popular girl in school. But Brittany's the one that people want to be, like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Well, and it's also funny because, like, Brittany truly doesn't care.
I know.
That it's not that,
like,
Brittany...
Quinn and Santana care, you know?
And it's not that Brittany is like, well, sorry, like, I'm getting all this attention, and so, like, I can't reveal that it's you. Brittany, like, doesn't get it. She's like, well, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm going to be in Teen Vogue.
I know. And she, like, did everything
Sartorial magazine said I was the trendiest girl in America. So it is what it is, I guess.
And the funny part is, like, she doesn't understand because... I don't think I would understand either because she's doing exactly what Rachel told her to do. She's like, can you go viral? Like, can we do like some sort of press release? And she does a press release with Jacob and Israel. And then she goes viral. And then Rachel's still pissed at her.
And the way that she describes it to Rachel, where Rachel's like, no, but you're wearing my clothes. Like, that's my look. And Brittany's like, I don't know what to tell you. When people look at you, they don't see what you're wearing. They see a cat getting its temperature taken and then screaming. And she doesn't say it as an insult. She's like, Rachel, this is just the reality.
This is tough love. She calls it tough love.
Yeah, she's like, frankly, you look like a screaming cat. Like, that's just the truth. It is.
I had a dollar for every time I've been told that.
I just like, Rachel is at her funniest when she is like desperate for acceptance or popularity and cannot grasp how to do it.
Yeah, totally.
Like when she does Run Joey Run, when she's so desperate to be seen as cool. And so she does this like very embarrassing video, but she thinks it's cool.
Yeah, totally.
Like Rachel being just not having social awareness, but wanting so badly to fit in socially is like the best aspect of her character.
Totally.
And when they have episodes that focus on that aspect of her character, I love it every time.
I know. And I feel the opposite when they, like, have Rachel winning. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I can't relate to her anymore.
Yeah, when she is supposed to actually, like, be the golden child.
Yeah,
then
and
I'm
everyone's
like,
oh, Rachel is so popular. Yeah. It's like, no, she's not.
Yeah, but it's when she so desperately wants to be
she
the golden
like
child, but
cat.
She's not, is when I'm like, I love this girl.
No, totally. And maybe that's just because you and I feel like such losers. So we hate to see people succeed.
But I also think it is like Rachel should not be rewarded for how she acts.
No.
And so
she's a terrible person.
Exactly. And so when she is constantly getting kind of knocked down, then all of her flaws are funny.
Yeah.
When she is succeeding, then she's getting rewarded for those flaws and then they become grating that you're like, oh, but you're like so self-centered and terrible and you're being rewarded for it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And hear me out. I think there is a world that doesn't exist in this television show where Rachel learns and grows and succeeds. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, spoiler alert, I don't think she ever learns and grows. So I don't think she deserves her winning.
They all, like, not to get too hard into future seasons, but they always try to have her have character development and give her character development. And then they will have something happen that is just like season one Rachel again. But now you're like, but you're succeeding so much
anymore,
that now, that now it's gross that you're acting like this.
Totally.
Anyways. Also, she tells us that she shops at Kids R Us.
I know. I love that like weird plot that they like haven't dropped with her where she like dresses like a toddler.
Like truly does not understand how clothing works.
I know. She's so, I love her.
And when Brittany is wearing the leg warmers as arm warmers and she says, and Rachel's like, why are you wearing them
on your
arms?
They're for your legs.
And she says, I wore a tank top today because I thought it was summer. No one ever taught me how to read a calendar.
No! Brittany is the best.
Absolute. That whole plot line, a banger.
It's straight up.
Incredible from start to finish. I love it.
Very fun.
And it is so fun that in the other plot lines, we see the girls in the carousel horse sweaters or we see the
and
leg
they're
warmers.
Just, like, there, dressing like that.
Yeah, it's just like this is something that's also happening today at McKinley.
Totally.
So funny. All right. Do you
like,
have other...
like in very earnest scenes with Quinn, yeah, she is like very Quinn, genuinely wearing like, leg warmers on her arms.
Or like Quinn is like Sam is yes, breaking up with Quinn and she's like crying Rachel. And she's dressed as Rachel Berry. And it's like, it's she's not, got, like, the there's no things. Joke. Nothing is ever commented
it's so
on.
So funny.
I love
so
it.
Stupid.
I think this episode is like what Glee should be for
totally.
Me.
Totally. Absolutely. And you know what? I think this episode is like so many things I like about Glee. I said that before, but like also I think it's peak Glee in like the structure of the episode and also the direction of the episode is very good. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like it is what I think of when I think of Glee, and I think of like the like Rachel and Mercedes in the hallway and the camera circling mm-hmm. around and then zooming into Sue. And then I think like the boys in their locker room and the camera going like back and forth. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I think of when I think of a Ryan Murphy show, you know?
Yeah.
And it is so good. It's so good. What should we talk about next?
Boys like this
Glee.
Episode of Glee.
Oh, they
all
do.
Right.
This
what,
episode is good.
What do you want to talk about next?
Okay. Should we talk about the Justin Bieber experience?
All right, the Justin Bieber.
Or whatever you call, what did you call that?
I call it the Justin Bieber experience, yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Perfect. Let's talk about the Justin Bieber experience. But before we talk about that, let's talk about Lena's turnaround, the Belieber.
Oh, heck yeah.
So... I was not a Belieber.
Were you too cool?
Yes. Until I saw the doc. Never say never. I saw it at my local Dollar Theater. I saw it with all my sisters. I cried the entire time. That movie is so good.
It is
like,
very good.
Who fucking made that? They need an Oscar. Because it is like... it like. Pulls at your heartstrings. Like, it is so good. It's so well put together. It, like, I think it was also 3D. I might
probably,
be lying.
That was, like, peak 3D phase.
Yeah, like,
thank
2011.
Thank goodness we have made it out of the 3D phase.
I know.
That was the worst.
I'm so over it. I know. I used to, like, buy DVDs, too, that were 3D movies, and they would, like, give you the cardboard, like, mm-hmm. glasses. Oh, my gosh. 3D movies make me kind of sick.
Truly, the entire nation... like, drank the Kool-Aid, went completely insane, and was like, no, 3D is amazing.
The Glee concert was
yeah.
Glee 3D.
No, it was, like, 2009. I think Avatars would, like, really kicked it
totally.
Off. And, like, 2009 to 2012, everything was 3D.
Yeah.
And there would be, like, more showings in 3D than not in 3D.
Totally. And everyone, honestly, my whole family, we did 3D mm-hmm. movies almost
no,
exclusively.
I fully bought into it.
Yeah.
And then one day, someone woke up and was like, wait, actually,
this
makes
sucks.
Me sick, and it freaking blows.
It makes me really sick.
Yeah, and then everyone was like, wait, actually, 3D is not that great.
No.
And thank goodness we moved past that weird time in our lives.
Because, like, movies can still be good and exciting without it, like, making you ill.
Motion sick,
I also
yeah.
remember there are a couple of theaters in Utah that I grew up around. I never went to these because I knew I would throw up, but they would shake your chair, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go to those?
Yeah.
Those were crazy.
I remember those.
I never went to one because I knew I would die. But let's talk about Never Say Never. Never Shout Never. No, Never
Say
Never.
Never.
I know, sorry.
Never say it. Never say it.
That movie was incredible. So that is what turned me into a Belieber. And mm-hmm. then I never turned back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm like a Justin Bieber fan.
Yeah,
now.
What are your thoughts on Candy? What's that song he sang? No, Yummy. What are your thoughts
oh,
on Yummy?
I honestly could not tell you how it went.
You got that yummy, yum, oh. that yummy, yum, that yummy, yummy. That's a song he wrote for his wife.
Well,
you got
I mean,
that
I'm
yummy,
glad he
yum,
likes
that
her.
Yummy, yum, that yummy, yummy.
Well, I'm glad he likes her. I don't have much of an opinion about Justin Bieber anymore, but I loved him back in the day. And I love this episode so much because I think it encapsulates, like, the power that Justin Bieber had
mm-hmm.
over teen girls
mm-hmm.
without making fun of it too much. Because I think it's making fun of it for sure, because I think it is something to, like, poke fun at.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's still really cool. And, like, having Finn, who just hates it. I remember growing up and in junior high in, like, these years, like, this year, like, 2011, I remember young boys we were like, that is so disgusting, like, Justin Bieber is so stupid, when it's like, no, he just, like, very, like, unabashedly makes music for young women, and
mm-hmm.
that is, like, embarrassing somehow. And I love it so much. And having Finn be like, oh no, like, Justin Bieber's actually, like, cool and people can like him and like the influence he has is cool. Like, and I just think was like a funny turn for him, and seeing Quinn be so excited about the Justin Bieber thing, very exciting. Love this plot line. Love Justin Bieber.
Yeah, the Finn thing I wrote in my notes is like the most high school thing ever.
Absolutely.
Where a guy's like, oh, you're doing this thing? That's so embarrassing. Stupid. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
And then it goes over really well. Yeah. And then he's pissed and is like, wait, I want to be a part of it next time. Like, that crap happens all the time in high school.
Especially
high school boys are such losers.
Yeah, I know. Because they're all like teen boys are like a different beast. They're always like trying to like be cool. Mm-hmm. And then they realize like the things that... They're so weird.
There's a perfect line in this episode, which Quinn says to Finn. She was like, yeah, actually, I'm surprised too that I like the Justin Bieber experience. I thought it was going to be really embarrassing, but Sam just owned it, and it was actually really awesome. Yeah. And like,
and
that is the truth.
Yeah, totally.
Like, if you just own what you're doing, it's no longer embarrassing.
Absolutely.
What is embarrassing is being embarrassed of what you're doing.
Yeah, totally.
And everyone else can tell you're embarrassed.
Yeah.
And so, like, that is so true. And that is always, like, how it goes, is that there is someone who's like, that's dumb and stupid. And then the people do it and they completely own it. And then everyone gets on board with it. And then that person is like, wait, actually, I would like to be part of it next time because they, like, see how much everyone liked it.
Yeah. And that's, like, when people talk about One Direction and how, like, or even the Beatles were a boy band that, like, only young women liked back in, like, the Beatles day. And then now it's, like, pretentious dudes, like, whole fucking jam to love the Beatles when it's, like, no, they're a boy band. And someday people are going to do that with, like, One Direction. Mm-hmm. People are going to do that with NSYNC, you know, that, like, pretentious dudes.
I'm doing that with NSYNC now.
I know, exactly. But I just think it's so funny. And I just love it. I love this plot line. Ooh, I have a fun story about Justin Bieber again. My last one, I promise. One time, me and all my gal pals were walking around this neighborhood. Like, you know how teen girls do. Like,
as in, like, just, where you grew up. Like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
In this neighborhood that I'm in right now.
Just because listeners don't know where we are.
I'm just joshing with my pal.
Let's only reference things that listeners can't see.
We're walking around the neighborhood like teen girls do in like a tiny group.
Like a teen girl squad.
Like a pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little.
And two very different references.
Honestly, the people who get both.
Encapsulate our personality so perfectly.
The people who get both can hang with us. And a random man comes out of his home and says, hey. We were like, hi. And we're like 14 at the time. I think this was like 2011 for sure. And he was like, do you guys like Justin Bieber? And my friend, who was the bolder out of the group of us, she's like, yeah, we like Justin Bieber. And then he said, come here. And then she followed him into his garage. And then he gave her a Justin Bieber cutout. Cardboard cutout.
Okay, well, I'm glad it worked
out
for
her. I know, but also scary.
But a bad lesson.
I know, bad lesson. But then we at this group, I'll show you the photo. Oh my gosh, the photo was so cute. We as a group had, it was like five of us, we had this Justin Bieber cutout and we passed it back and forth between each other. We called it the Sisterhood of the Traveling Justin Bieber. And we would hide it in each other's homes and it would like scare the hell out of our families. We were like, oh, like who's that random man? Because it was the never say never, like he was like in his hoodie and like he was like looking scary, you know, because he's like looking menacing. Oh my gosh, I have to show you those photos after this, but...
Can we put them on Instagram?
Absolutely.
Great. If they'll be on the Instagram.
Should I ask permission for like the other girls?
Do they have your friends' faces in them? We can just black them out.
Okay.
Yeah. Just have it be you and Jay Biebs. That's all that matters anyway.
I hope those photos still exist. They must, right? I'll find them. Don't worry.
Anyways, this episode, this plotline specifically, is such a 2011 time capsule.
I know.
One, Justin Bieber. Two, Tina Cohen Chang is playing Angry Birds.
I know.
2011 Who? Ugh. I was like, whoa.
I was all up in that Angry Birds life.
These are references to such a specific time in my life. And truly, like, Bieber fever. If you...
How do you
if we
that?
Have any listeners who are, like, teenagers now, and so you were, like pretty young when it was happening, this episode is not an exaggeration.
No. Honestly, like, I feel like it is not even, like,
close
to what it was.
Like,
it
kind of downplays it a little bit. Do you remember when he, like, ran over someone with his car? Because, like, He hit someone with his car. There were like fans that were like mobbing him, and it was getting all out of hand and crazy. And then one of them ended up getting hit with the car he was in.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was craziness.
That's so
scary. And there was like, I remember there was something online where like a girl had posted, and to be fair for this one, it's possible that it was like a troll who was pretending to be a believer. But it was like a certain subset of Justin Bieber fans got very, very obsessive to like a scary degree.
Yeah.
And there was a picture online that was a girl holding a ponytail and the girl sitting in front of her, the ponytail had been cut off. And she posted on Facebook with the caption that the girl in front of her said that Justin Bieber sucks. So she cut off her ponytail. And like that easily could have been a troll.
Yeah.
But part of me, like I sincerely believe that that could have happened because of like how bonkers crazy everything was.
Yo, teen girls are powerful. Mm-hmm. Teen girls who especially like are obsessed with like pop music, they could take over the world if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I think.
Who run the world? Teen girls.
Teen girls.
Teen Girl Squad.
Cheerleader. So-and-so. What's her face? The ugly one.
Very good. Very good.
I just want to do my strong bad impression.
I know.
That's all I want to do. Anyways, back to the Justin Bieber experience. Oh, speaking of teen girls, something that's very funny about this is, so when Sam starts the Justin Bieber experience and he tries it at a bat mitzvahs, he plays for that room of like 13-year-old girls. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be 2 years older than them.
Whoa.
I was like, this is not compute.
He's supposed to be 15.
Because he's a sophomore in high school. So at the oldest, he's 16. And like, yeah, puberty happens at that age, but puberty doesn't happen that much at that age. It is like clearly age appropriate 13-year-old girls.
Yeah,
and
then
goals. That's my speech impediment coming
back.
No. And then this like 25-year-old man who's like, I am also a teenager.
That's actually the funniest thing ever. Like thinking back, I think you and I have talked about this recently. Just like thinking back, must have been me and Tiffany, EB Tiff. But we were talking about how when you're a teenager and like looking at teenage boys, you think they look like the boys in Glee. You think they look like the boys in Riverdale. But they, and then looking back like at your photos and like your high school yearbook, they're just like little dudes. They're babies.
It is so cathartic to look back at the people that were like so cool and popular in like middle school and high school and realize that they were just as ugly as you were.
Absolutely.
And you're like, why was I so intimidated by these people?
That's one of my favorite things ever is like, they look just like me. Like we look like awkward teenagers. Mm-hmm. God, I would not ever go back to being a teenager. You liked being a teenager.
I wouldn't go back, but I like had a fine experience. Sure. I wasn't like traumatized like a lot of people were. So let's talk about Baby. What are your thoughts?
Baby. Very fun. Very exciting. Loved it. Just like, and also like Tina being like, this song is actually really good. And I just love, more so than either of these Justin Bieber numbers, the girls just like freaking out and like belly laughing at each other, just like dancing and having a good time is my favorite thing ever. You know, I love that. And it's just so fun. And I think Sam is such a cool, fun character. And he would be like, I'm going to capitalize on this Bieber fever thing. And I love him for it. I love that number. I think it is very, very, very exciting.
What you just said is what makes the storyline work for me. Because frankly, this storyline is a big risk for whether Ian will like it or not.
Okay.
And the way that the girls react to the numbers is what makes a storyline work.
Yeah.
Because it feels very tongue-in-cheek. It feels like the girls are having fun and kind of like aren't, the girls aren't genuinely like, oh my gosh, I'm losing my mind. Like, you're so hot right now, I can't handle this. They are more kind of like tongue-in-cheek poking fun at that concept. And they're like laughing while they do it and like pretending to fangirl instead of actually fangirl.
Yeah.
And it very much has that attitude that Quinn says, where it's just like the boys are owning it and that makes it fun. And if the storyline had been that like the girls genuinely thought it was like the hottest thing ever, I would think this was like the corniest, dumbest thing on earth.
And like there's a part of them that does, but it's not like what Glee I think would do when it could have been like Lauren being like, oh my gosh, Puck, this is like our moment. Like, I finally see you in this new light, mm-hmm. which like, of course Lauren isn't going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not Lauren.
Well, and it feels so true to high school girls. I remember when I was in high school, we did a concert for my choir where we would just do like we would do a bunch of songs from the last 100 years. I've referenced this before. And I, for the 90s, was in an NSYNC number where we did Bye Bye Bye. Uh-huh. And we learned the entire dance from the music video. I'm very proud of that fact. But anyways, this exact thing happened where we were doing Bye Bye Bye. And the girls in the choir were like, it would be so fun for us to go in the orchestra pit and pretend we were at an NSYNC concert. Uh-huh. And so they all did the like reach up to the stage and they were like screaming and like, I love you and blah, blah, blah. But it was the same energy where they weren't actually like, oh my gosh, these guys I go to school with are like gods and I'm losing my mind. It was more like, it's so fun that they're yeah. pretending to be NSYNC and we're pretending to be absolutely. Like excited fangirls at an NSYNC concert. And that's the energy that they have is like, they're pretending to be at a concert and that they're actually Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
And it just like feels so true to how that would be. And it totally I love is. It. I think it's so fun.
I remember in my high school, we had a talent show and we had two boy groups who did that. Mm-hmm. They were called the Davis County Downpour. I think about that name. I think about that name every day. And then the theater boys, they did a band called Within Five and they did like a One Direction number and it was so fun. And I remember just like, we did the same thing where we were like, let's freak out. Let's like have mm-hmm. so much fun. And it's fun to do that. And it's also, I think a cool, I don't know. I don't think I have the words for this, but I think it's cool when teen boys kind of like let that pride go.
Yeah.
Where they're like, I have to look cool. When it's like, no, you're going to look cool by having fun. Mm-hmm. And like, people respond to that, you know?
And that's like what's so fun about this episode is that they are 100% letting that pride go by yeah. like pretending to be Justin Bieber.
Totally. Yeah. Like starting a band called the Justin Bieber Experience, like by all means is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But they are having so much fun. You can see.
Ugh. Also, Somebody to Love. Fantastic song.
That song rocks.
Like,
it's
frankly,
so good.
Baby, I have like nostalgia for.
Yeah,
but
totally.
I'm like, I don't know if I necessarily like, say this was a it. Good song.
No.
But Somebody to Love, I was listening to it and I was like, this holds up. I don't care what anyone
no,
says.
That song rocks. There are still Justin Bieber songs I listen to today that I'm like, this song, like, awesome, is so good.
Ring, 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 ring. Hello. It's Never Say Never on the phone.
I will fight. 5154
Never Say Never. Never Say Never. Yeah, that's why Jaden Smith is on that song.
Because
he's bigger than me, taller than me, and he's older than me, and stronger than me, and his arms are a little bit longer than me, but he ain't on the JB song with me.
Gotta remember the rest.
No pun intended, was raised by the power of will, like Luke mm-hmm. with the force when push comes to shove, like something, something, something. Something, 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 blood.
Know.
We're gonna be the best, and yes, we're the flyest, like David and Goliath. I conquered the giant. Now I got the whole world in my hand. I was raised by two stars, so the moon's where I land. Come on!
I will never say never.
Never say it, never, never
I
say
it. I will fight you forever to make it right. Whenever you knock me down, I will not stay on the ground. Give it up, give it up, give it up, give it up, but
never say never.
Never. I don't think I've heard that song since like 2013, and I need to. That
it's
song
so
rocks.
Good. It's so good. Good.
I just love that. And I love things, I said it before, things that are made like unashamedly for teen girls are, I think, the best things on the planet. Ugh. Mm-hmm.
Like Glee.
Literally, that is a perfect example. Like, Ryan Murphy will say his, like, target demographic is, like, you know, college gays, but it's actually teen girls, and he knows it.
I know you did say that the directing in this episode is very strong, and I agree with you on the whole. There is one line that I was like, Bradley, what was that?
What's up, Brad?
Finn, I mean, not Finn, excuse me, Sam. Sam is just Finn to everyone.
True. He's Finn Jr.
Finn Jr.
Who is actually talking, Will Jr.? So is he Will Jr.
Will
Jr.?
the third. is talking to Quinn And Quinn says to him, color me mine. And then he says, I'll color you yours any day. And that's a funny line.
Yeah.
Because it is like a dumb thing you say. Mm-hmm. That like in the moment you're like, I'm flirting. And then you're like, that was so awkward and weird. Yeah. It is played completely straight. Like there's no like Quinn doesn't have a reaction. Like, what was that? Sam isn't like embarrassed that he said it. It is like as if he actually said the smoothest thing ever. And it is so weird. And I don't understand why it was directed in that way.
I took this note. What is that? I love this shot so much with Rachel and Mercedes in the hall. This episode is directed so well, Zack Snyder would be jealous. Because it's like full of slow motion and like moving shots. Zack Snyder wishes. Ooh, I had a question. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Okay.
What a
quick turnaround that was.
Sorry.
Whiplash over here.
Let's move on.
Okay. Okay. So the other side of this plot line is this mini, mini, mini plot with Lauren and Puck, and that she wants to sing, and that she does her very first and only solo. I know what boys like. What are your Pisces thoughts?
My Pisces thoughts. You know I like Lauren. I think Lauren is a cool character. And why did I think that scene with them after her wrestling practice was like kind of sweet? Or like Puck so earnestly was like, yeah, totally. Like, just think of them in their underwear. Like, it was honestly a sweet moment. Then he asked to touch her boobs, which right. like classic Puck. Got to ruin that. But like, what do we expect of him? It's Puck. Mm-hmm. And I also love the number she does. I think it's fun. And I just think she does a great job. And I love the idea that like Lauren is such a cool person, such a badass, like so confident, but like hasn't sung a lot. So she's like kind of nervous to do it. And you could tell like she's super nervous. And then she like gets into it and she's like has so much fun. And I especially love classic me. All the kids are like so proud of her and they run up to her and like hug her and like they're cheering. And it's so fun. And like watching Puck watch her is very exciting. Mm-hmm. Seeing all of them in their like their underwear, their jammies, like Finn is wearing
Sue's
like
dominatrix outfit.
Like no one mentions that. And also Finn is like wearing like a Power Rangers shirt. Like,
and so Will funny. Has a vest on.
Oh, I didn't see Will
is
at all.
In boxers and a vest.
My gosh, I hate him. He's addicted to vests. I do think it's really fun. I think it's exciting. What do you think?
I love it. Yeah. I will say this is a very random thought, but something I always think is funny. And like, I'm not saying like this is dumb and bad. It's a funny observation is when like sensors, like network sensors are like, you can't show a woman's abdomen. And so like they have to make excuses for why, if it's a beach scene, why these characters who like 100% in real life would wear bikinis are not wearing a bikini.
Uh-huh.
And then in this, they're like, yeah,
they all
every
wear slips.
Girl wears a slip. Mm-hmm. Like every girl in Glee Club has a slip. Mm-hmm. No one's in a bra and panties, all slips.
Yeah.
It's like,
is that a rule on like network television that you can't show someone's abdomen?
The first time I noticed it was in High School Musical 2 that I was like, Sharpay Evans wears a bikini.
She I thought does that not was like wear... a Mormon thing. Like it was filmed in Utah.
Well, it's also Disney Channel though.
True.
Yeah. And so she has that weird like baby doll swimsuit. And I was like, in no universe is this what Sharpay Evans goes to the pool in. And yeah, I think it is a kind of a thing that like you have to you like have to cover up their torso.
Yeah.
And then they only had like two of the guys shirtless, but I think that might have been a casting thing that they were like, who wants to be shirtless?
Yeah.
And who would rather have a tank top on?
It was
on?
Mike and who?
And Sam.
Sam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyways,
but I think it was fun and I think it like fit all their characters, like the things they like picked.
Yeah, no, I love that moment. I think it's so funny.
So funny.
Also, the way Brittany hits the ground.
I know.
Lauren shoves her. Heather Morris committed.
She did.
Oh
she,
my
like,
goodness.
She threw her head too.
Like, goodness sakes, it is hysterical.
I know. I think it's so funny.
It's so
there
good.
Is a trope that I don't like that I noticed a lot with Lauren. And like a lot with like plus size women in media is like this trope that like plus size women like totally ignore consent all the time.
Oh, and yeah.
And like specifically like shove men into their boobs. Like if I had a fucking dollar for every time I've been told to do that on stage, I'd have like $4. Yeah. I hate that trope. I think it is so annoying.
Yeah.
That's something I don't like about it, but
yeah,
whatever. I will trade it for a fun Lauren plot.
Yeah, and you know what? I know what boys like.
Boys like.
I didn't have a plan for this one. Pisces.
Yeah, boys only date Pisces. Pisces people.
I meant like Puck and Lauren's Pisces.
Oh. yeah, me too.
All right. Other thoughts.
I will never say never.
Good for Sam for breaking up with Quinn.
I know.
Proud of you.
I know.
Also, when Santana is talking to him and Santana is like, she's cheating on you, it's obvious. But that scene starts and he's doing the impression of James Earl Jones.
He's doing the Darth Vader.
And then Santana goes, that's offensive.
I know.
He killed Martin Luther King.
I love that. Oh. And I love that he doesn't even like correct her either.
He's just like, okay, I guess.
Like, sure.
I'm sorry. The mono thing is so dumb.
Okay.
Because he saw them kiss already.
I know.
Why is that not the story?
I know.
Why does Quinn have to say, I saved his life? Because then Santana's whole bit is like, well, you have to kiss with tongue to get mono, which like I'd love
That's
to see
true.
The science
yeah.
on that, Santana. But then like Quinn's cover up is not that she tongued Finn. I guess she did like suck something out of his mouth though. But I'm just like, you saw them kiss. Why is the assumption not that? You saw them kiss and that's how they got mono.
You would think. That's what I would think.
I wouldn't need a whole...
This show is weird.
I just like... The mono thing could have been fixed so easily.
I know.
By just having...
But then that's not as much conflict.
Well,
know?
No. The mono thing could have been fixed so easily by Santana clearly getting mono and then openly kissing Finn at the kissing booth and being like, I gave Finn mono on this day.
And then making Sam a big being stink like, about it too.
Sam being like, that's after when I saw them kiss, so they must have kissed again.
But she didn't get mono because
it
stereo.
Turned into stereo. It's so ill conceived.
Yeah.
Every girl in the school should have mono.
I know.
I will never get over it.
Ugh. Mono.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
All right.
Should we move on?
Yeah.
The Shoe-Vester.
Shoe-Vester. All right. Just out of the gate, we got to address it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of suicide jokes at the beginning of this.
Yeah. Definitely the sore thumb of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Not fun. Not funny either.
Also, a very confusing moment, which is that Emma and Will go to Sue's apartment thinking that she has attempted to take her own life. And then they find out she hasn't. And then Sue says, I have nothing to live for. And Emma says, that's not untrue. And then
Emma, you're a guidance counselor.
And then Will's response is, Emma, we did not come here to give her a pep talk. In what world is validating someone's belief that they have nothing to live for a pep talk? A very confusing string of dialogue.
And they're like treating her as if she's like doing it all for attention. And like, even if she is, like they absolutely are so pissed at her for using gummy vitamins when in all actuality, like, how about we address what's going on? How about, like, you know, and especially for Emma, I feel like it is super out of character for her to act like this in a situation like this. Like, I understand it's Sue and I understand she might be like, quote unquote, overreacting to be called the biggest loser in the world, which I don't know. I just think it's weird. The weirdest plot. I don't think it's funny.
Anyways, what are your other thoughts about Shoe-Vester?
Other thoughts about this plot? Love seeing Sue and Glee.
Mm-hmm.
Think it's a really fun dynamic to like add to the club. Like Will even says it, like, you're a fun addition to the club, man. She is. She is fun. And I like that she sets up the diva off to like have like something to do. And I like that she sings with the Glee Club. She is the funnest part of that number. Like watching her just like scream My Chemical Romance lyrics is so fun. I love that she's a dominatrix in her underwear. I think that is so fun. But yeah, I also, what do you think?
I like this whole plot line except for the thing we already addressed. And also, there's something I'm undecided about.
Yeah.
Which is them using cancer patients to make us feel sympathy for Sue.
Definitely.
And it is like, I don't have like full feelings on it because it is like those were actual cancer patients and they did agree to do it. And like, I don't know the ins and out of that whole situation.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying like objectively that was bad.
No.
It just like, it was the part of the plot line that I was like, I didn't like that part.
Yeah, I completely agree. The show is funny with that because they oftentimes bring in things that will like pull at your heartstrings
and then like discard them.
Discard them.
Yeah.
And like these cancer patients, we don't speak to any of them. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're genuine cancer patients. And I know they're children, so it's probably a little different. But I would have loved to like, I don't know.
Well, beyond the fact that like these kids aren't characters in the show, because like you said, like
they're children.
But like, it's never mentioned again that Will supposedly does this every month. Like, it's never brought... It is literally a little, like, character trait that is brought up.
They're like, oh, we love Will. Look at this fun thing he does every month.
Mm-hmm. That it was like, Will visits hospitals. Don't think too hard on that because we're going to forget that it ever happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, like, would be... And I wouldn't put it past Will as a character that we've set up to do something like that. I would have loved to see that in the future. Or at least, like, mention it, like, once or twice again, you know? But it's just to, like, make us feel sympathy for Sue and to like show that part of her that like has soft feelings for things. I don't know. And like the power of music, it's the weirdest thing ever.
It feels really cheap. It feels like in Laryngitis when Rachel visits Finn's really good friend that Finn has known for so many years.
Yeah.
Forget the fact that he never mentioned him before and that he will never be brought up ever again. It's just like someone who is like has some trial in their life is wheeled in for one episode so that one of the main characters can learn a lesson and then they're discarded and they will never be mentioned again.
Absolutely.
And it feels a little gross. But I swear I do actually like this plotline, everyone.
Totally.
So let's get on to some good stuff.
But I do have a question. Bailey, the nurse.
Yes.
Do you think her and Will are hooking up?
They for sure have slept together.
Because he doesn't call her Nurse Bailey or like, it's like, hey, Bailey. And she's like, oh my God, Will.
Yeah. No,
hi.
They for sure have seen each other naked.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
No doubt.
Safe bet in this show, any single adult woman has slept with Will.
Yes.
If they are in a relationship, it is a 50-50 shot that they have slept with Will.
But maybe.
Yeah. Some funny things. The pamphlet that Emma gives Sue that is titled, I'm too depressed to open this pamphlet.
I felt that.
Seriously, I've like been there. Been there. Also, when Emma and Will are talking and Sue walks in and she goes, I'm so sorry for not being sorry about interrupting right now.
I know. Jane Lynch is a comedy genius.
She's got some funny stuff in this episode.
Totally does.
I love Sue bullying students. I don't care. Throwing students against lockers when she knocks all the books out of Lauren's arms and Lauren literally just puts her hands up like, what even was that for?
I know. Could you imagine like being in a class with a teacher like that and having a teacher so unabashedly be like, I'm gonna shoot you in the tits, you know? Like Sue is such a weird character.
I also love it.
I love the moment at the end when Rachel stands up to announce to the club that she thinks that we should do original songs at regionals, which like
Rachel? The absolute worst idea.
The most random idea.
Stay tuned, but that writing original songs for choir competition is such a terrible idea.
But Rachel stands up and she's like, the Warblers have Blaine and Kurt as their 1-2 punch, which like, Rachel, in what world are
seriously
they using anything other than Blaine?
They have Blaine as their one punch and that's it.
They have their one punch
Kurt
Godzilla.
Has not done anything.
One KO.
He's KO King Kong, Blaine Anderson.
But she...
Wait, really fast though. We did, friend of the podcast, Ray, DM'd us this week on Instagram because I dragged Blaine through the mud last week and said that he was boring. And Ray messaged and he was like, I'm so glad someone finally said it.
Aww.
I always call him Plain Blanderson.
Plain Blanderson. That's good. That's good. Anyway, so Rachel mentions that. And then Sue goes, oh, sweet porcelain, like that she like loves Kurt. Mm-hmm. And I think that is like such a fun quality of Sue's, that like she genuinely loves Jean, her sister, and also like Kurt, like mm-hmm. just her two babies, like just loves them. I think that's so fun.
I love Sue.
Me too. So, I know what boys like.
Boys like Suey.
Suey.
Like Sue, but mm-hmm. like Suey. There we go.
Suey.
Suey.
What's
You're
that
calling
from?
Your hogs home.
Oh, sure. I've All never right. been on a farm.
So, I also, something I love is Sue meddling with the Glee Club on a personal level.
Yes.
Sue, like, yes, Sue doing like grand schemes is fun.
Yes.
But my favorite Sue plot is when she, on her own or with her spies, turns the students against each other is so, and it, especially because it is like the most unethical thing a teacher could do. It's
could
so
you imagine?
Good.
I also love the idea that she pulls Mercedes and Rachel aside and like tries to like get in nice with them. And the thing that she says to Mercedes that Rachel said about her is, quote, not that talented. Like she says to Rachel, she's like, that you're untalented, annoying, and stupid, and awful, and ugly. Like something like random and long. And then, quote, not that talented. I think that is so funny. Like that she couldn't even think of like a lot of insults for Mercedes because she's so awesome. I love that.
I also love Rachel's response to what a diva is. And
it
feels like the writer's kind of teasing Lea Michele herself.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is exactly what she does in every number.
Uh-huh.
Where she's like, the emotions get so big that you close your eyes and you turn away from them and you use your hand to push them away.
You push them away. They're too big.
So good.
I felt that though. That's me as a teenager. Like mm-hmm. I was like so dramatic and I was all about like, my feelings are too big for my body.
Mm-hmm.
I have to push them away. Rachel.
What are your take me or leave me thoughts? Lea Michele's continued conquest of singing every single song that Idina Menzel made famous.
I hear that.
Which
I mean,
will
she
continue
is,
throughout the entire
she
series.
She is her daughter. So.
Yeah, I'm true.
I like this number a lot for a lot of reasons. I think it's very fun. I love how they start so pissed at each other, but can't help but like game recognize game. And they just like really like just like hug at the end. And it's so fun. They're like, this is so exciting. And they just like laugh and have a good time. You know, I love that. I love these glee kids loving each other. I do have a problem with the pick of this number just because like you'd think they would save it for like some like canonically queer characters.
Yeah.
You know, like I would have loved to see Santana sing this. Like Santana is the person to sing this. She is like our like queer character, or like even Brittany, or even like a queer character we would meet later, but I don't know.
But do any of those characters hold a passing resemblance to Idina Menzel?
Too shy.
I feel like that they literally are like, she kind of looks like Idina, so she has to have all of her songs. No one else can cover an Idina Menzel
you're
song.
You're right. You're right. They also just like, I mean, have her singing with Quinn. She has a crush on her.
That's true.
But I just feel like, and they rewrote the song in the weirdest way. Like they didn't rewrite it, but they cut the song. So they cut out the entire
Joanne part.
Yeah. Which like, what's the song for? Like it's a fight between two women.
Who
like,
are like agreeing with each other.
Yeah.
One of them is like, I'm super hot and people are into me. And then the other one's like, yeah, also I'm super hot and people
literally.
Are into me.
And like, and I wouldn't have a much of a problem with these two singing it, but they like cut out Joanne entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So like the song isn't even about what it's about anymore. And we have queer women on this show. It's weird. I know that one looks kind of like Idina Menzel. I hear you, but I just think it was a weird pick. That aside, very fun, very exciting. You know I love a diva off. Very fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hmm.
What is the deal?
What?
With, first of all, the competitions in general. How on earth, like, what is the zoning where they were against Vocal Adrenaline last year for regionals? Did Vocal Adrenaline get moved to another region?
I had no idea.
Why are they no longer against Vocal Adrenaline? But they're still against Aural Intensity.
Yes.
Like, what is that?
And also, a weird thing here is last week we learned this place canonically has 300 girls who go to the school.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume that's around half or a bit more than half probably. So there's like 600, 700 kids who go to this school. That's not a big school. I assume that like these would be in similar divisions. Like it'd be like split up by like school size.
Well, I think it's location. I think sectionals mm-hmm. are schools that are in with like a 100-mile radius. Mm-hmm. And because when I did choir in high school, we didn't have sectional choir, but we had a regional and all-state choir. And when I would audition for regional choir, it was everyone who lived in the greater Phoenix area. And okay. then if you made it into regional choir, you could audition for all-state choir, and that was everyone who lived in Arizona as a whole.
But that was like big choirs. That's not like choir competitions, right?
Yeah, or is it different? I assume it's kind of the same idea.
I don't know anything about choir competitions.
Because the name regionals sounds like you're from the same region.
Yeah. I mean, we did, and this is drama competition, so who knows. We did schools that were by like size. So I was always competing against a school in Spanish Fork, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know anything about that. I also don't think that this show is thinking that deep about anything.
No, they're like, the fact that Vocal Adrenaline got bumped up to their net, like, who is Vocal Adrenaline competing against? Maybe they were like,
Maybe they just got a free pass. Yeah, literally.
They're
like,
you're going straight to nationals, like, don't worry.
We know they're going to go to
nationals.
We'll
fill in the blanks.
Because are they going to be at nationals? Or is Vocal Adrenaline just not in
season 2? No, Vocal Adrenaline is at nationals.
Then where the hell are they?
At nationals. Because here's the problem, which we'll get to this more when we get to this episode, is Vocal Adrenaline is the big bad. Like, they are the Glee big bad. And the writers realized that if they keep them at regionals, if New Directions ever makes it to nationals, all of the stakes are gone.
True.
Because they already beat the big bad. So then them going to nationals against a group we've never heard of, who cares? Mm-hmm. And so they had to bump them up to be at the big competition to keep the stakes high. But then it doesn't make sense, because how on earth did they get shifted to another region?
They got a free ticket. They won nationals last year, right?
Yes.
Is that what happened?
And they've won nationals for like the last like 7 years or something.
Good for them.
Yeah. So the show choir board of directors was like, we're wasting time.
Let's give the other teams a chance.
You're
going to
qualify for nationals.
Yeah.
You're in.
Totally. I buy that.
Anyways, my other complaint about the people who run these competitions is like, what is their deal with like these dumb themes?
Just have them
sing songs.
Yeah.
Why were they at sectionals? They were like, you better do a ballad. And now they're like, you have to do, and also like the broadest requirements ever. You have to do
a ballad. What's an anthem?
Exactly. I'm like, I feel like you could justify almost anything and be like, this is an anthem.
Like, do a song. Well, what does that mean?
Seriously. Goodness sakes.
I have no idea. And also, if you're going to do a theme, make it Halloween themed or something. Jeez, yeah, like do something fun.
Like, you have to sing an anthem? No, thank you.
Like, what does that mean? I don't know.
Someone's up there singing the freaking Star Spangled Banner? I don't think so. Can you imagine if one group, like Arl and Tensony, like, did not understand the assignment?
Yeah.
And they're like, we're just singing the national anthems of three different countries.
They could do like a big medley national anthem funness.
Honestly, I'd give them a 10 out of 10 if they did that. That'd be very fun.
It'd be pretty exciting.
It'd be like the Olympics.
Dude.
I'd be such a proud citizen of the world. All right, let's talk about Sing from a Chorus Line by My Chemical Romance.
Sing it for the world.
So, what are they wearing? And why are they wearing it?
They're Bert Hummel cosplays.
They were really missing Finn.
They were.
I mean,
Kurt. Embarrassing.
And they were like, this one goes out to his dad.
Totally. Could you imagine? Like, Finn's like, hey, Bert, can I borrow some flannels? He's like, yeah, how many do you need? All of them? Just like, takes all the red flannels. The weirdest, like, I don't understand why they picked that.
I like, was like, maybe My Chemical Romance, like, wore this in the music video? They don't.
No.
And also, straight up, Gerard and Mikey Way were both literally are quoted as saying, why are they dressed like that? They both were like,
why are they dressed like
outfits,
lumberjacks?
They said the outfits were weird.
They
like,
are weird.
Why did they put them in that?
Because they didn't want them to dress like pop punk kids or something.
Then just put them in their normal clothes.
I know.
Like, or the lumberjack thing is so weird.
And I don't even mind. I don't know. Like, they could have all had flannels, but they're all red flannels. And, like, the weird, like,
yeah, and they
caps.
Have the, like, hats on.
Yeah, weird.
It was choice. Like they were gonna freaking sing "Bless Your Beautiful Hide" or something. Like why?
Wherever you may be, dude. I love that show. Problematic fave. I really love Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. I can't help it.
Also, you did mention this when we were rewatching it. This number ends, and every time I'm like, "That's the end of the comeback." Pause. It even does it like, dude.
This episode feels long.
Because it feels like it should end with Sing.
Yeah.
And then there are like three more scenes. And each scene you're like, okay, so this is the last scene.
All right.
Okay, so this is the last scene. Speaking of Zack Snyder, it's like the epilogue of the Snyder Cut.
Oh my God.
Where you're like, just end it here, Zack. Diminishing returns with these epilogues. Let's end the movie already.
Fun little story segue. Ian and I and EP Tiffany, we know we love her. We've been watching all of the DCEU movies, and we finished last night with the Snyder Cut. Y'all, that crap is crazy. Have you seen that show, you guys?
The thing is, like, we don't know if we liked it or not.
I know. That's the weirdest thing ever, because we were like, this movie is amazing. And then we were like, this movie sucks. I really hate the Whedon Justice League. So.
Oh, no. It's for sure better than the Whedon Cut.
It's miles better than that. Yeah. Yo, those movies are madness.
Yeah. And just like the comeback, it ends and you're like, okay, satisfying cool. ending. Yeah. And then he's like, but don't you want to see more of this character? What if Martian Manhunter's in it? And you're like, no, we don't need that.
Like, no.
And then he's like, what if the Joker talks about Batman giving him the reach around? And you're like, no, we super don't need that. Don't have that in there.
The weirdest shit of my whole life.
During that scene, I was like, actually, I think I hate this movie. Yeah,
totally. It ruined the entire movie. Anyway, I'm glad we could alienate the people who haven't seen the Snyder Cut yet.
What's up, you guys?
Hey guys, welcome back.
This episode of Glee there are two promos from Glee that have haunted me since I saw them the first time. One of them is this episode, the other one is for the season 3 episode Saturday Night Gleavers. So everyone just buckle up for that one. They were promos that made me cringe the first time I watched them, and I haven't seen them since, but they have haunted my dreams.
Okay.
And this promo had the line in it, "What's the wackiest idea Glee could ever have? Sue joins the Glee Club." And I, as a 16-year-old, was like,
this is stupid.
Who is this for?
Yeah.
Like, who do you think is watching this show that saw that line and was like,
that's the wackiest idea they've had?
And like the wackiest. Like, is this like a show for kindergartners?
Me?
Come on now.
Wanky.
That's so whack.
Wiggity whack? No, just regular talk.
Just regular talk.
You guys, please check out Teen Girl Squad.
Look up Teen Girl Squad.
Please understand the jokes.
Okay.
Oh, my skin.
I think that's all I have about this episode.
Honestly. Which is so funny because this episode feels so long.
I know, and this was one of our shorter episodes. I do have one more thought.
No, what?
Lauren is about to sing her song.
I know what boys like.
She gives them a count off.
She goes, she's like,
1, 2, 3, 4. The tempo is nothing like her count off. Like, literally.
Which, like, I hear that.
The band was like, this girl's so nervous, we're going to pay no attention to how fast she counts.
I'm sure a lot of, like, live bands do that kind of stuff. Where they're like, let's take what the tempo they say with a grain of salt.
Yeah, they're like, look at the drummer. He's going to actually give us the
tempo. And you know what?
Tempo.
She does a great job. So she keeps up.
Can you imagine if she had done it at that speed? And she's like, I know what boys like me.
I know. It could have been cool.
All right. Well, do you have any more comeback thoughts?
I think those are all my thoughts.
All right. Let's go to the best part and the worst part and the best number.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
Ian. What was your best part?
Brittle Baby.
Yeah.
The whole Brittany Rachel plotline. I love it. My best number, frankly, Somebody to Love.
Yeah.
Early Justin Bieber cannot be beat.
It's so good. So the chalk.
Mm-hmm. It's
the
very
dancing
and like the lighting behind them.
Very cool.
It's very good.
Like the fluorescent like tubes they have. Very cool. Very exciting.
And
very
like,
fun. Very funky. Very fresh.
Early Justin Bieber is one of those things that like I hear it and I'm like,
such nostalgia.
Am I 16 again?
Yeah.
It's insane.
You're like automatically 16 and like very awkward.
Yeah. All right. What's your best part?
Oh, gosh. What is my best part? I think my best song of the episode. I was going to say that number, but maybe,
Sorry.
I know, maybe I'll say, I'm going to say Sing, because I
from
love
a chorus line.
Shut up. I love all these kids just like screaming. It feels very cathartic. It's very fun. I love watching Sue. She looks like she has so many like pent up feelings she has not dealt with in a minute, because she is just like screaming. And I would love to do that, like have a number like with like all of my loved ones and like just sing that kind of thing. Like that is so something that would be so far up my alley. I just think it's fun, and I love My Chemical Romance. I think it's fun, but their outfits are dumb.
You love a Paul Bunyan number.
I do. What did I say my best part of the episode is? Jeez, this episode is very fun. I think my favorite part of this episode is just like everybody loves Justin Bieber. It is so fun. The power of teen girls is so just could take over the world. I love them so much. I love these boys just having a great time.
Would you say that the power of teen girls is so good?
I hate you so much. I would say that. So good! Tag yourself as a teen girl.
I think my friend and some presidents just flew by.
I miss Christina.
I miss Christina.
Stop doing it better than me.
Dear the one with baggy pants, we're on spring break. We meant to invite you, but we forgot. Maybe we'll bring you back some shells. Or some sand.
No one is going to understand this because our entire demographic is young people, and that we're like the last people who knew about
the last of the Homestar runners.
Literally, like I like honestly feel a little too young for Homestar Runner, but like randomly you and I found each other and we know about HomestarRunner.net.
It.com. If anyone was big on the internet in like 2001 to 2004, this episode's for you, baby. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I was staying with my friend Dan, who we both know, and his wife. I was staying the night at their house, and his wife and I found out that Dan didn't know what Homestar Runner was.
Oh,
and I was like, this is Dan? Like literally so far up your alley, I cannot explain it to you. And I literally forced him to watch Trogdor. And then,
people know Trogdor.
I hope people still know Trogdor. Trogdor is the best.
I feel like even people who don't know much about Homestar Runner know about Trogdor.
Yeah, but we also are like in our 20s. So who knows? And then I forced him to play the entirety of Peasant's Quest. And I just sat next to him and watched him. And then I'd be like, if he got stuck, I'd be like, maybe you should try throwing the baby. And then I would just like sit there and like wait for him to figure stuff out.
You're like,
you guys, go to homestarrunner.com. It's so good.
It's .net.
Okay.
Ian, what was your worst part of the episode?
I literally was like, what were we talking
about?
Where
are we? Yeah.
What's happening? Worst part, I don't know. Probably the suicide jokes.
Yeah, totally.
What about you, boo?
I've probably seen that too. I think this episode is really good.
Yeah, I think it's pretty strong. All right, let's do the assignment of the week, which, as you mentioned, was essentially pick a song. Literally, Will is like, an anthem is a song that means a lot and has an emotional catharsis.
Which,
it's like, oh, so a song then.
Yeah.
So what do you have?
I've got two picks.
Okay.
The pick I pick and the pick I would have picked if I didn't want to sound like myself.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
So I picked Armor by Sarah Bareilles. It's just like, you know, a female power bow, a power anthem. It's like, hand me my armor. It's very good. It's a very fun song. And then I also secret picked Don't Tell Anyone.
Okay, I won't. And everyone, you better not repeat this.
Yeah, don't tell anyone, okay? It's just between you and me. New Romantics by Taylor Swift. Shh. But I don't want to sound like myself. It's embarrassing. I just hate that I only have like three pillars of my personality. I just can't help it. What did you pick?
With the anthem assignment, was like trying to think of songs that like felt like an anthem of like a specific like subset of people or like of a different era or generation. And my brain was like, let's forget every song that sounds like that.
Yeah. I've never heard a song ever when it comes to these assignments.
Yeah. Or like, it would be like, what about Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana? And I was like, frankly, a banger, but would I actually sing that? Probably not.
I would.
maybe that'll be my plan B. But then the one that I thought of that I was like, ooh, I do love that song is Age of Aquarius from Hair. Because it is very much like hippie movement 1960s, 70s anthem-y.
Yeah, your hair is like that right now.
I have long hair right now, let me tell you. And the part of that song when they do the mystic crystal revelation and the mind's true liberation, Aquarius, is so good. So good.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Totally.
So either Age of Aquarius or I guess It Smells Like Teen Spirit, everyone.
Very good. I think those are good choices. All right.
Well, that's it.
That's our episode.
That's the end of our show. Bop. If you have thoughts on this episode on Come Back or on the song Come Back from Dogfight the Musical, you can send them to recoveringgleek at gmail.com or you can leave a voicemail at anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. If you want to understand what Teen Girl Squad is, you can find it at homestarrunner.com.
Not .net.
Not .yet.net. It's .com. Or you can go to YouTube and just look up Teen Girl Squad. Yeah.
It's dumb. It's very fun.
No, it's great.
You can follow us on social media at recoveringgleek_podcast for Instagram, also TikTok. And then on Twitter, it's a little different. We're at recoveringgleek.
Oh, our Twitter's a little quirky. It's not like other social medias.
Other social medias. You can't have underscores on Twitter, I guess.
No, it's you can't. It can't be that long.
Oh,
yeah. Twitter handles have to be shorter. And so we had to axe the underscore podcast.
Well, that's fine.
And that murder is hanging over Twitter's head.
I know. That's on Twitter's hands.
Mm-hmm, that blood's on their hands. Well.
Well.
Love you guys.
Love you guys. Hope you have a good rest of your week. Here is an anthem kiss on your forehead.
Here's one from me.
Ew. That really freaks me out. Ew. Ew.
Also,
really
that's not even that, the national anthem. I always, every time someone is
beautiful.
Whenever someone says sing the national anthem, it is a complete roulette what song is going to come out of my mouth.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
I love when people sing the national anthem. Just because, like, you gotta, the national anthem is one of those funny things that you, like, gotta pick a key that you can, because it starts very low, gets very high.
It's irresponsible, frankly.
Yes. Who wrote that?
I don't know.
Francis Scott Key. But, like, irresponsible how high it gets. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, you have these 13-year-olds singing at, like, their local baseball games. And they're, like, starting high. They're like, oh, say, can you see? You know, it's, like, it's too much too fast.
Want to hear something very embarrassing?
Have you sung the national anthem?
I absolutely have.
Tell me
so,
about it.
When I was in choir in high school, there was a deal where you would get an award at the end of the year if you were Voices with Distinction, which meant you were in the Voices choir, which was like the big choir, and you had to do like a checklist of things. And one of the things was you had to sing the national anthem at a game, at one of the high school games. And the reason my teacher did it is because the high school games, the sports teams needed people to sing the national anthem. So that's how she like incentivized us. And so I did it at a basketball game. And so I was like so nervous. And I went and I sang it at a basketball game. The next day, this kid in choir, he genuinely, it's one of those things where like someone just is making conversation with you and doesn't realize that they just told you the most devastating thing possible. He was like talking about how he and his dad were at the basketball game last night, and his dad leaned over and was like, isn't that kid in choir with you? And he was like, yeah, he usually sounds a lot better than this. And I literally was like, I am never going to sing again. I was so embarrassed. So, one and only time I've sung the national anthem.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains of the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.